And that's going to do it. The Predators string together victories. They beat the LA Kings here tonight, 2-1.
A good gutsy win by the Predators. I know they have been struggling to score goals as of late. They struggled to score a little bit tonight. I thought they held on. Pecorine was really good. They got a goal in the power play, which was great.
Preds win last night over the Kings. Fireball Hot Take Friday. Jared and the GM. Let's get them locked and loaded today. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. GM, what did you think of the Predators' win last night? We said going into the three-game homestand, hey, just win the three games and then get to St. Louis and Winnipeg. And last night, as you heard Jeremy Roenick say right there in the little clip, they weren't perfect. They certainly, you know, weren't great, but it was a nice win. What did you think last night of the game?
I think that's it. I think that's exactly right. It was a nice win. I don't think, you know, there wasn't much special except for Pekka, who's always special. But it wasn't a great deal special, but it was a nice, you know, solid win. I mean, it was up and down a little bit, but generally speaking, you know, you went in, you played okay on defense, okay. And I mean, that LA team's awful. I mean, it's hard.
They stink.
It's hard for me to.
It's hard for me to
say much because they're. I mean, I was watching that the just complete incompetence of that team. I'm watching. No wonder you guys can't win a game, you know. But the Preds did what they had to do, and congratulations to them, and now they're on their way. Now we get a couple more, we'll be in good shape.
See, that's what was frustrating about analyzing last night's game is LA is so bad. Yeah, I was watching the game last night. Drew Doughty commits a penalty, and the Preds go on the power play. And I said to myself, if you can't score a goal with one of the best defensemen, like maybe top three, top two, top one defensemen in the league, and Drew Doughty, if you can't score with him in the box for 2 minutes against this bum team, you may never score on the power play ever. Now, they did score on the power play, and it was Turris, of all people, who scored on the power play.
Your favorite.
That is a miracle.
Get excited.
A Christmas miracle that Kyle Turris scored on the power play. And I don't know what's more miraculous, the Turris part or the power play part. It's unbelievable. It's like, you know, the doctors gave him 1% chance to make it through or whatever, and this was the 1%. But I digress. You look at last night's game. The Predators dominated them for basically everything except the last 10 minutes of the game when they went into total prevent defense mode and almost gave the game away. But to your point, LA is terrible. So do we look at that like, hey, you beat a terrible team 2-1. Like, you should have had four more goals. They should have scored four last night. They could have scored six. They only scored two. So are we upset about that? Now, Jonathan Quick made some really nice saves, and he's a cup-stealing goalie, so I don't want to take anything away from him, even though his team is terrible. Like, so there's that aspect of it. Or there's the, hey, Pekka was good last night. They scored on the power play. It looked like they were energized for most of the game. Roman Josi had a nice game. Arvidsson moving down to the second line made those guys better last night. And if you look at it like that, it's a very positive win. If you look at it like that team's terrible and you only won 2-1 and you only won 2-1 because Kopitar hit the post at the end of the game, then it's a negative win. And so I don't know. What do you think?
I mean, I think you look at it as a positive win. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think there's any doubt about that. I think, you know, because if you would have lost, imagine where you'd be. You know, you'd be.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that's where you'd be. But you found a way to win. And, you know, whether you win 2-1 or 4-1, I mean, it's a win. And, you know, nobody will know the difference come tomorrow. But, I mean, I thought it was a nice win in front of the home crowd. There's nothing really negative I could say. You know, I mean, they let down a little bit at the end of the game,
I mean,
like
PK
you said.
PK Subban there right at the end. I felt like I heard every
blunders.
Caller in my head.
Yeah.
When PK Subban, again, you know, just let's the other team score. I don't know how to sugarcoat that. But you're right. I mean, like, if you're thinking about the guys that, or the things that bother us or the guys that we're looking at to play better, You know, Turris played well last night.
Absolutely.
Hartman has had a pair of really good games with the Dallas game and last night. I thought Hartman has played great in the last two games. Boyle, clearly his impact is making a role, is at least very positive.
I will say this, though. For a big old strapping guy, he's an awful fighter. Did you see that fight?
With Dion Phaneuf?
Oh, they grabbed each other. It looked like a couple of kids wrestling. I thought, now, wait a minute. This guy's,
like, you're the guy who's punching people in the
6'19",
face.
You know, I mean, he's a giant of a man. I'm thinking, where's a punch? Let me see a punch someplace. Nothing. They just kind of shuffled around the ice for a while. And
Floyd's
broke
biggest
it up.
Takeaway from last night, Brian Boyle, not a good fighter. I thought it was a good game, and the score may be a little misleading for I don't know. I'm kind of torn on last night's game because they outplayed L.A. for the entire game almost, except for the very end. But they're supposed to outplay L.A. because L.A.'s terrible.
Right.
And they only scored two goals when they should have scored four or five goals last night.
Well,
and they didn't, so I should be down on that. But then at the end of the day, they played well, so what am I going to complain
about?
And
I think you had a point before. I mean, Quick is a solid goal. I mean, he's got a couple of Stanley Cups in his back pocket.
Last year, people forget, in the Vegas series, they got swept in the Vegas series. And obviously, getting swept is not good. But, like, every one of those games was overtime or 2-1 or 1-0. You know, Quick gave them a chance in that playoff series last year. They just couldn't do anything with it. Quick gave them a chance last night. I mean, he made some great saves. And the other thing, and Crispy brought this up like 2 weeks ago, but last night, I mean, how many I know the stat is shots on goal. I'd like to see them put underneath that shots off goal, because nobody right now shoots the puck off the goal more than the Predators. There was one time where Quick was all the way out of the net and Ellis tees one up, and I'm like, okay, this is like a slam dunk. This is where you see the alley-oop develop and you know there's no one there. You're like, oh! And I'm like, so Ellis is going to dial one in there at about 100 miles an hour, and he missed the net. And I'm like, oh!
13 missed shots last night.
13? How many did LA have?
14.
They had more. So there's that. But just unbelievable. But, I mean, you know what? They had to get the 2 points. They got the 2 points. They have to get the 2 points tomorrow against Colorado. They have to get the 2 points against Edmonton. And right now they're in first place.
There you go.
For all the up and down and the complaining that we've done on this show this year, and we have complained a lot, they are in first place.
Well, it's so shocking because you go into a game like that last night and you end up, you know, winning and you're happy about the win, everything good. Then you look at Winnipeg and they go down. Then you look at who else? St. Louis. You know,
well, they
they go down, and so all of a sudden you skyrocket up the, you know, a couple notches up the ladder, and you're looking like you're in pretty good shape.
I mean, if they win the next four after, if they can win the two games at home that they got to win, and then they go to St. Louis and win, and they go to Winnipeg and win, I mean, they had a real shot to be in great shape entering the last month of the year. Now, somebody call Elliot Friedman, because Matt Duchene was traded to the Columbus Blue Jackets. Elliot Friedman, for the last 2 weeks, has pumped Matt Duchene to Nashville. Nashville's doing everything to get Duchene. They want him so bad, and he wants to be there, and he wants to. Matt Duchene to the Columbus Blue Jackets. Matt Duchene and a defenseman for, two prospects, a first-round pick, and next year's first-round pick, which is conditional on Duchene signing an extension in Columbus. Floyd, the Predators do not get Matt Duchene. I'm not upset about it. I'm not one way or another on it. What did you think when you heard of Duchene getting traded to Columbus, not Nashville, and all the picks and the prospects that go with it?
Yeah, I mean, we thought it was going to be expensive. I mean, it turned out.
And let's just stay for the record. We have no idea how good these prospects are.
No.
And neither do you.
No. But I think, you know, the additional one, if he signs a contract, was, I thought, a pretty shrewd. I'd never seen a clause like that. And I thought, geez, that's a pretty good idea. You know, if in fact he's going to end up, you're going to end up with a guy that's going to be a solid player for you for 6 years, then I should get more out of the deal. So, I mean, I'm going to imagine it's going to cost him 2 firsts and 2 players. I mean, that's pretty expensive territory.
So it's basically a first and 2 players for a rental. It's 2 firsts and 2 players to keep him.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, that's probably what you're looking at for Stone. If you want Stone, who's now the other guy that Ottawa's got, if you want Mark Stone, it's probably the same type of deal. A first and 2 players, or 2 players and 2 firsts conditional on you re-signing Stone.
So, I would think the market's set for those guys we've been talking about. And whoever's trading them is going to be looking at that as the market.
And considering it's the same team, you know, you would figure that. And then if you're Ottawa, what you do is if you trade Stone and you get the same deal, you say, I've got 4 prospects and 4 first-round picks. And in 2020 or 2022 or whenever the owner said, that's when they're targeting being good, we're going to be good. So, I mean, I don't know if Mark Stone's worth all of that. Robbie's going to be in studio today. We'll ask. Back by popular demand, the fans all chimed in, said they want Robbie back. So Robbie will be back today. But the fans, I don't know if they want to do two firsts for Mark Stone and 2 players. I mean, now you're really going to say, okay, when it gets to 2024, you're going to stink. You know, you're putting yourself at that mark, unless, you know, Tom Brady is your quarterback and you can get rid of all these other guys and just keep it around Brady. But you can't do that with guaranteed long-term extensions in the NHL. So that's where they are. But that's kind of the news of the day. And again, I'm indifferent on Stone or Panarin or whatever. I'm totally indifferent on all of this. My question is for the fans, if that's what it costs you to get Stone and an extension out of Stone, are 2 ones and 2 players, or just maybe Tolvanen and 2 ones, because I don't know if you have any other players after Tolvanen. I've never heard of any of these players after Tolvanen. So if it's 2 ones and Tolvanen, you know, are you okay with that? And I'm indifferent. I don't care. Like, I don't – yes, no, whatever floats your boat floats my boat. That's how I've decided. But that's probably what we're looking at in terms of if they're going to make that kind of a trade.
And I can't imagine there's anybody out there worth 2 ones and 2 players.
You don't think Wayne Gretzky?
Well, within reason, there are if Edmonton called
and said 2 ones, Fiala and Tolvanen for Connor McDavid,
I'd say they're on a plane.
That was like you told me about the direction. We were talking about Delaney Walker for Gronk straight up, who would say no or whatever. And you said John Robinson would put Delaney in the car and drive it up to Foxborough. 615-737-1025. Your thoughts on the Preds' win last night? Did you like it? How did you feel about that? And then we know the market now for Matt Duchene, now that he's been traded. Is it the same for Stone, and are you okay if the Predators give up something like that? 615-737-1025. And how about some of the guys we've been getting on maybe starting to turn the corner a little bit for the Preds? We'll get to that. We've got to get to the Robert Kraft stuff, because I, as somebody who went to Louisville and is a proud Louisville fan, I can't tell you how often I have heard "hookers in the dorm" from Floyd Reese over the last 3 years. So now that his Patriots with the Robert Kraft, we'll get to that at some point too. Jared and the GM on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. We're live from the Game National Studios, presented by Wholesale Inc. and Mount Juliet. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game. We're streaming on the Game National app.
Straight away, Yossi. Yossi for Forsberg, top of the right circle. Goes back to Yossi. Now a pass through the box, comes to Forsberg. He goes back, and Kyle Turris scores it. Now that was moving the puck.
You feel like Kyle's starting to round back into form after two separate long periods.
Yeah, I mean, I thought his last 2 games were really steps in the right direction. Tonight, I thought he was one of our most noticeable players, just with, you know, his speed and the offense that he brought to the game. I thought Arv jumping down there did a good job. Yarny had a good game. So to me, that line was clicking pretty good. Kyle played a strong game for us.
Kyle Turris paying what he owes last night with a goal
there
on the power play. And I'll say this.
Kill 2 birds with 1 stone.
A Christmas miracle. Remember what I said. I was going to give Kyle Turris until after the Vegas game, you know, for how long it would take him to come back. I was going to give him until after the Vegas game before I started getting on him again. And he was not good. And then after the Vegas game, Dallas has the game-winning assist last night, power play goal. So I have to give credit where credit is due to Kyle Turris right now, who in the two games since I said I was going to start reevaluating him, he's starting to pay what he owes. I think that's pretty good. The problem is I'm still not sold he's worth all the money they're paying him, but that's neither here nor there. What I feel like is weird right now is I feel like everybody else is jumping off the Turris bandwagon. And you heard Robbie ask Peter the question. They're like, hey, you kind of feel like he's rounding into form. And Peter didn't really say yes. In my opinion, Peter is kind of more along the lines of, he had a nice game. I'm not going to say he's totally rounding into form, but he had a nice game. But Jeremy Roenick, after the game last night on NBC, boy, he was getting on Turris a little bit to pay what he owes.
Listening to Kyle Turris talk about how they have to continue to get better to get ready for the playoffs, him especially, with only his seventh goal tonight, you wonder whether he's going to be a Nashville Predator after the weekend's over. Big contract, but only seven goals. And the amount of money that he makes, it'll be interesting to see if he's going to be there.
So Roenick's like, hey, he's got seven goals. He's making $6 million. I'll be surprised if he's even there past the weekend. And that's another guy we brought up all the Sportsnet guys in Canada that were saying, well, what's the point of Turris if they add another center? And Elliot Friedman talking about flipping Turris yesterday. And so now everybody just seems to want to talk about flipping Turris. And I'm trying to figure out, I mean, has Turris been that bad that it's now gotten to the point where everybody wants to talk about trading him?
Well, I mean, he hasn't been there. That's the thing for me. Is he, how many games did he miss?
Like 30?
Yeah, he missed 30 games. Yeah, I mean, it's going to be hard to be a high scorer. And you miss 30 games depending on what the injury was, and I don't know what the injury was. But, I mean, if you can't condition and you can't skate and you can't do the things that you need to do to get in shape, then it's going to take you another, 2 weeks to get in shape? I don't know. I mean, I don't know how long it takes to condition on ice, but... But, I mean, I think all of those things are kind of factors. And I think you look at what's gone on the last couple of games and you say, you know what? I mean, I think the best part, hopefully the best part's in, all in front of him. And that he's rounding back into shape and going to be ready for the big push.
So I don't know why everybody's so down on Kyle Turris. I don't think David Poile is the sell low kind of person. Everybody here, at least the callers we talk to, they all want to trade Fiala. And I'm like, why would you trade Fiala when his stock is the lowest? That's not a good idea to trade somebody when their stock is at the lowest. That doesn't make a lot of sense. And then all the national people want him to trade Turris. And I'm not against trading Turris because I still think he's never going to be worth the $36 million contract they gave him. But at the same time, like, wouldn't you trade him when he goes on a little bit of a streak and he's kind of lighting it up? And then if you want to trade him, hey, Kyle Turris had a great season last year. Flip him in the offseason. But for Jeremy Roenick to be like, hey, I wonder if he'll be there next week. I'm like, whoa, that's a hot take from a guy who's got a pretty big hockey audience right there.
Right. But, I mean, I think if you look at the fact that, how many games has he played and he's got seven goals, that's a lot different than saying, oh, okay, he's played 60-plus games and, he's only got seven goals, which is not the case.
So I think in a situation like this, it does a disservice to the player that they don't disclose the injury. Because Turris got cross-checked in the ribs at St. Louis, and that's what made him miss the first month. And using deductive reasoning from seeing him get cross-checked in the ribs and going right up the tunnel and then missing a month – makes me think he probably cracked a rib or something right there when somebody cross-checked him. Then he comes back and he hurts his foot or his lower body, and you got to assume if you're out for a month and a half after you hurt your foot, you probably broke your foot, right?
6 weeks, yeah, probably.
Okay.
But I don't know.
So if they had said to us with Turris, like, yeah, he's got a cracked ribs or he's got a broken foot, then we would probably kind of lay off of it and say, hey, he's going to be out a while with a broken foot. But when they don't tell you why a guy's hurt, they just say, yeah, he's hurt. He'll come back soon. Like, then all of a sudden, we're all sitting there saying, hey, when's he coming back? Get back. He's not scoring. Get back. So I feel like that does a disservice to him. Again, I worry about Kyle Turris because I feel like he might be the center version of Craig Smith, where when the guys get big and the going gets tough and the games are hard, he's really not a factor because that's what he was in the playoffs last year, not a factor. But I'm not ready to just jump up and down and say, okay, yeah, you know, he's not worth it. They should just go ahead and move on because I just don't believe in selling an asset when it's at its lowest and it has the potential to go up when you could sell that asset for more later.
Right. I mean, the problem you run into is when the asset goes up, you don't want to sell them.
I know.
And when the asset is down, the decision is, do you want to sell them? Or are you going to continue to play him as bad as he is? Or are you going to cut him? And that's, you know, none of those are good.
Well, take Fiala, for example. If you don't trade Fiala, eventually you're going to have to pay Fiala. And if I don't think David feels the same way about Fiala as the fans do, but the fans don't like Fiala. So if you have to pay Fiala and you don't like him and then you have to pay him, well, the fans don't like that now.
Yeah, David won't like that. If he doesn't like him and he's got to pay him, he won't like that either.
Well, if he doesn't like him, then he probably will trade him at some point. But who knows? 615-737-1025. Robert Kraft. We have got to get to this story. Floyd's guy, Floyd's former employer, Robert Kraft, caught up in a sex trafficking ring. Although when I first saw the headline, Kraft involved in sex trafficking ring, I'm like, wow, that's got to be terrible. But then you find out that he was just a visitor to the place, or allegedly a visitor to the place, and that changes it a little bit. You know, we'll get to that coming up next. Jared and the GM right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. If you have the hottest take today on Fireball Hot Take Friday, you'll win a pair of tickets to see John Mellencamp at Ryman Auditorium on Tuesday, March 19th. And so get excited for that. 615-737-1025. Boy, let me tell you something now. I love my scrubs from Authentically American. I actually wore them this morning when I went out to lunch. I was wearing my Authentically American scrubs. I was around the house. I had just taken a shower. I was getting ready to go to work.
Hard to hide class. Who scrubs to lunch?
Go. So I'm sitting there, and I was about to leave the house, and I was like, what am I going to wear? I got to wear something comfortable. Got to go out there, go get lunch before I go into work. I put on my Authentically American scrubs, and oh, my God, they were so comfortable. If you are a doctor or if you're a nurse or if you own a hospital or if you own a clinic, Authentically American is perfect for you. That's right. Those scrubs are antimicrobial. Those scrubs are moisture wicking. They are stain resistant. They are wrinkle resistant. They are the best. That's right. That's why I was so comfortable wearing them. And honestly, I wish I was still wearing them to work. I don't even care. Floyd can say whatever he wants. They are so comfortable and they look great. They look like workout clothes. They are so comfortable, and if you're a doctor or a lawyer, you're crazy not to get these antimicrobial scrubs from Authentically American. That's right, authenticallyamerican.us/scrubs. That's where you can get these scrubs if you're a doctor or a nurse, and you want to be as comfortable as I was today. authenticallyamerican.us/scrubs. Jared and the GM, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
We want to bring you up to date on a breaking story right now. That is Patriots owner Bob Kraft, and he has been charged in Florida, Jupiter, Florida, with misdemeanor solicitation of a prostitute. His spokesperson at this point is categorically denying any wrongdoing. Jupiter police told reporters on Friday that he hasn't been arrested, that a warrant will be issued, and his attorneys will be notified. This is all part of a larger crackdown in that area, in the Palm Beach area, on sex trafficking and human trafficking. About 200 warrants have been issued recently in that area based on this ring and what has been going on down there. But again, the spokesperson for Bob Kraft categorically denying that Mr. Kraft engaged in any illegal activity.
Robert Kraft charged with two misdemeanors of soliciting prostitution in a huge sex trafficking ring in Jupiter, Florida, as you heard in the breakdown right there. Let me just throw this disclaimer out before we get any further into this. Sex trafficking around the world is an epidemic, and we're all against it, and we've all got to find a way to put an end to sex trafficking one way or another. Floyd, do you agree?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, so let's just put that out there so anyone who thinks that we're insensitive or anything like that, that's how we feel about sex trafficking. It's ridiculous. And I would say that when there's a case that involves 200 people right there, there is a major situation going on, but with the people that are running the sex trafficking ring, and then they just round up as many people as they can to kind of say, okay, this is what happened, so that they can levy it on the people responsible for that, more so than the actual individuals who go and visit them. At least that's the way that I get the vibe from how they do these kind of trials. I could be wrong about that, but that's just how I feel.
Yeah.
What do we think? I mean, you get on me all the time about hookers in the dorm at Louisville, and this is your guy, Robert Kraft. And this is,
I'm not sure this is quite the same as a bunch of 18-year-olds with hookers in the dorm.
It's a 77-year-old billionaire going to a strip mall.
and
like, this is like in
there's
Jupiter,
no difference
Florida.
Between 77 and 18.
I mean, can't Kraft, you know, be a little bit more discreet? You know, I mean, like, so here's my theory, and this is just me, and if I'm wrong, then I apologize, but I don't really care. You know, like, if someone were to say, Robert Kraft was with a prostitute, oh my God, I'd be like, okay, like, I mean, that's just me, though. You know, there's certain things that I am very much against, and there are certain things that, and again, I'm against sex trafficking and the exploitation of people and stuff like that. But just the generic, you know, what is prostitution and Robert Kraft, this doesn't change my opinion on Robert Kraft. I'm not a major moralist who, like, says, you know, that everybody's got to be perfect. I'm certainly not perfect. I mean, I don't do that, but I do not point a finger at Robert Kraft and feel any differently about Robert Kraft today than I did 10 hours ago about Robert Kraft. And maybe I'm the only person in the world that feels that way, and maybe I should be ultra sensitive to this, and I, you know, should be how dare he or something like that. But does anybody really care?
Well, I think he's going to, I mean, he's had a fairly distinguished image in the league. I mean, he's one of, you know, what, four or five owners that, you know, you say, okay, who are the top owners in the top sports, you know, league in the country? I mean, his name will pop out there. And I think all of that, you know, he's going to get tarnished there. There are going to be issues and things he's going to have to talk about. You know, when it comes down to everyday affairs, you know, doing and getting ready for the draft and doing all that kind of stuff, I mean, there won't be any difference. But I think I'm going to guess there'll be a little bit of difference in, you know, just the image and maybe some of the things he does.
I'm going to say that you'll see more Belichick doing talking for the organization in the near future than you will see Kraft, you know, up there at podiums and things like that. And Belichick's probably going to have to kiss some more babies, which I'm sure Belichick's probably going to hate. But,
yeah,
you know,
Jonathan will step up too.
I know, but, yeah, like, you know, it's, yeah, not it, with that organization, there's three guys. You know, there's Kraft, there's Belichick, and there's Brady. Those are the three guys. And so now that Kraft has to cede some of his, you know, camera time up, Belichick is probably going to have to. Now, Jonathan Kraft will probably, you know, when they donate a new something, he'll probably be the guy that does that. But Belichick, right, will have to do some of that. I'm sure Belichick will hate it. But again, like, does anybody really care? Like, they're going to break this down on NFL Network, and they're going to break this down on SportsCenter, and they're going to break this down, you know, on every show across the country is going to break down Robert Kraft involved in prostitution. But does anybody actually care about the actual situation itself? Bart Scott, the former Jets linebacker, says the Patriots should lose every pick in the draft because of this. Like, who cares? Like, in all seriousness, you know, like with the Louisville scandal, that was an issue because of the NCAA, and we're talking about college recruits and underage, and that is a problem. This is just some old man, you know, that's trying to live life, got a $6 billion or $8 billion or however many billions he's got, you know, just trying to live life a little bit, you know? So my opinion on Robert Kraft has not changed whatsoever based upon although I will say this, it is a very embarrassing allegation.
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, even if they decide there's nothing to it, I mean, it's embarrassing still. And I'm sure the league will, you know, smack him. I mean, I'm sure the league will, you know, do something similar to what he did with Irsay and say, hey, you know, you're going to have to be suspended for a while and you're going to have to pay a big fine. And
well, here's the thing
we'll
with
go
that
on from there.
Is Kraft, you know, this organization has been docked a lot lately. And does that factor into an even stiffer punishment for Kraft? I'm sorry. for Kraft, because Kraft, you know, they got the Deflategate and the Spygate and they got all that. So do they take another first round pick away for this? Do they, you know, if Irsay was 6 games and $500,000, is it a season for Kraft because of Spygate and Deflategate? Although he really had nothing to do with either of those, but he was the owner. So is he not a little bit involved in that? And then, you know, the two people whose reactions I want to know when they heard about this story, Goodell and Belichick, because I guarantee you Belichick, somebody called Belichick at like 2 a.m. Somebody calls Belichick, and it's one of those numbers that Belichick can't not answer, whoever called him. You know, like if some just random calls Belichick, he's not going to answer at 2 o'clock in the morning. But there's probably like 15 people that if they call Bill Belichick at 2 a.m, Bill Belichick answers the phone. And it was probably one of those kind of people. And Bill Belichick probably answered the phone. He's like, oh, yes. Coach Robert Kraft there's going to be a warrant that comes out tomorrow for 2 counts of misdemeanor solicitation of prostitution for Mr. Kraft. And I can see Belichick, Robert did what? like what? And so I want to know what Belichick's reaction to that was. And then Goodell, because you know Goodell's like, why? Those fans hate me. The organization thinks I'm out to get them. And then every 5 years, they do something that I got to get involved with. And I bet Goodell's probably not even mad at Kraft for what he's being accused of doing. He's mad at the inconvenience it's now going to have upon him. And that takes me back.
It will be inconvenient, too.
And that takes me back to the original assertion that I have, that is, nobody actually really cares about Robert Kraft soliciting a prostitute, do they? Do you think Goodell cares?
Goodell?
Yeah.
Oh, I doubt.
No, he doesn't care. No, nobody cares. But because it is a crime, and that's a whole debate that I'm surprised doesn't get debated more.
Is it a crime in Florida? I don't know. I'm asking.
Well, I mean, if he's getting charged with it, it's a crime.
Oh, okay.
But yes, it is a crime. It's not a crime in other places.
That's what I'm saying. But, I mean, there are places in the country that are
I think Nevada is.
For sure, Nevada.
I think Nevada's the only one that I know of for sure. Yeah. But, like, again, I mean, and that's a whole debate that I think we as a country, you know, should probably, as we talk all about pot being legalized, we might as well, and gambling, we might as well talk about this one too while we're at it. You know what I mean?
Here we go. All the things growing up, at least for me. Growing up, all the stuff your mom and dad said, don't ever do these things. We're just gradually legalizing them, every one of them.
What were you told not to do growing up?
Oh, don't smoke, don't drink, don't gamble, don't, you know, chase.
Did your parents tell you not to go visit prostitutes?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, all of it.
Must shock you. My parents have never had that conversation with me.
Well, I grew up in California. Nevada's right next to California.
Okay. I grew up in Tennessee. So that stuff, you know. But again, like, to me, I don't care. I don't, whatever. Now it's great because something's going to happen to the Patriots. And like, I heard that Kraft doesn't even actually have to go to court. He can have somebody represent him and he's, you know, he can, like, they can do all kind of, like, I mean, again, I just love it. This is going to be the biggest story all weekend. And I'm not sure one person I know cares about this.
How do you, what determines the difference between a misdemeanor and a felony? I mean, I know there's a giant difference, but what
stealing a candy bar is a misdemeanor and killing somebody is a felony.
Well, I know that, but I mean, where compare stealing a candy bar with hiring a prostitute for me? So I'm trying to put him on a scale of some sort. Oh. So I know where we are.
Again, the official statement from Jared and the GM on this matter is that we're against sex trafficking of all kinds and that it is an epidemic across the world that needs to be stopped. And I do mean that with all sincerity. But this Kraft story, man, it's just going to get bigger and bigger. Like next week, there will be another part of the Kraft story. Like it'll be another. League sources say that they are investigating whether or not Robert Kraft's girlfriend at the Super Bowl 5 years ago, like that, it's going to get like that.
And you said this is one of the, just like on a little strip mall someplace.
That's what I've been told. Just like a
massage
parlor.
You would think
strip
if
mall.
A billionaire would go into a place like that.
Right. It's like, you know, Johnny's Massages next to Pizza Hut. 615-737-1025. Your reaction to the Robert Kraft story. And again, my theory is you may care about the fallout of this. Like if the Patriots lose a first round pick over this, I'm going to laugh so hard. But do you actually care? 615-737-1025. Fireball Hot Take Friday. Catch MTSU Blue Raider basketball against Charlotte in the Borough tomorrow. Coverage begins on 94.9 Game 2 at 4:30. Tip off at 5. It's Jared and the GM right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Adam Schefter, by the way, has a little nugget about this story that it might not just stop at Kraft. We'll get to that next. Jared and the GM, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Adam, help me out. What how can you add to this story that is just now breaking?
Well, Kerry, at this point in time, Robert Kraft has been charged with this offense. Now, he's not been convicted at this time, but he has been charged. And keep in mind that owners, NFL owners, are subject to standards than any NFL employee. And they are subject to the NFL's personal conduct policy. If you go back to 2014, Jim Irsay was suspended 6 games and fined $500,000 after being arrested on drug charges. So now, not only is there an investigation into South Florida, not only do we have an issue that involves women who have been trapped in human trafficking, which is an important distinction to make here, but now the NFL has another situation, another investigation to launch. And it involves, obviously, one of the most powerful people in all of sports.
Adam Schefter on SportsCenter today, and the NFL has released a statement basically saying they're aware of it, they're looking into it. But the NFL and all the leagues usually say, hey, we let the police take care of business, and then we get involved afterwards, which is, right, you know, par for the course. But Schefter says, I'm reading the New York Times article on this, apparently this is a huge, like, everyone's, Robert Kraft is the name that pops out and is the story, but apparently this is a huge sex trafficking ring that this thing is a part of. As I read from the New York Times article, the investigation involved multiple law enforcement agencies and resulted in raids and arrests connected to nearly a dozen businesses in the region. At least one person was charged with human trafficking. Others face accusations of money laundering and racketeering. More than 24 men ranging in 34 to 81 have been arrested. Hundreds have been charged, police say. So this is a lot bigger than just, you know, Robert Kraft going a couple times to, you know, I guess the place was called... the place was called Orchards of Asia in Jupiter, Florida.
Oh, Lord.
So this is what Adam Schefter said, though, today on SportsCenter.
I'm also told that Robert Kraft is not the biggest name involved down there in South Florida, and we'll see what police turn up in the report. But obviously there's a situation that's unfolding here that's disturbing on a number of levels.
So if Adam Schefter is truly in the bag for the Patriots, he would tell us who that big name is. And again, I mean, again, I'm totally against sex trafficking. And when you read the New York Times article that I was like halfway through, this is a big, you know, sex trafficking ring, and they are putting a stop to it, and that's great, and I'm 100% behind that. But again, like, I want to know whoever did it. I want to know who the biggest name is, just because I'm just nosy. Like, so who's the
yes,
biggest
you
name?
Are.
Like, so who's the, like, if Kraft's
All
not
right,
the biggest
you
name,
brought it up. Give it up.
If Kraft's not the biggest name, Adam, who's the biggest name? Not because I care about the actual incident, but just because it's like, you know, like say it's, I mean, you hate to like use an example of, say it's this celebrity that's a huge celebrity, like you hate to say that because it's, you know, you don't want to imply that it's that person, but like say it's Oprah Winfrey, right? Like one of the biggest celebrities out there. Like if it's Oprah Winfrey, I mean, that's pretty big. But it wouldn't change my opinion on Oprah. I would just be like, okay, that's what it is. So, again, my guess is by the time we get on the air at 2 o'clock on Monday, 5,000 things will have happened in this entire story. You
and,
know, from
and
the
there would be
sources,
at least that many stories written.
Oh, yes.
It'll be everywhere.
I mean, everybody will be talking about everything. Vanderbilt today, we'll get into this at some point as well. Vanderbilt today came out and said that Derek Mason is going to get a contract extension.
Oh, great.
So Vanderbilt football coach Derek Mason, Malcolm Turner announced today, and in the email, they gave it to a bunch of coaches, like three other coaches got contract extensions, but it's coaches, you know, Scott Limbaugh, the men's golf coach, John Williamson, the bowling coach, and Derek Mason got a contract extension, according to Malcolm Turner, the new athletic director.
How much time do you have on this contract?
It's Vanderbilt, so you never know any of that stuff. You know, so they don't ever tell you about that.
Well, congratulations to him. He certainly deserves it.
But doesn't it kind of feel like maybe the new athletic director should take a little bit more time before extending the football coach?
I mean.
Like, he hasn't been here for one game.
He hasn't seen him play.
I don't think he's been there for one practice. And the new athletic director's already extending the coach?
Yeah.
I have no problem with them giving Derek Mason a contract extension, but I don't get why a new athletic director would come into town and get right off the plane and not even see one practice and give him a contract extension. Unless
you'd probably like to have some evidence.
Yeah, at least watch a little bit. I mean, because what you can't do is you can't tell us, well, I want to take my time with Bryce Drew and Stephanie White. I want to evaluate that before I decide to fire them. And yet you're giving Derek Mason a contract extension and the guy has never coached a practice while you've been athletic director. Like, what's that mean? So.
It's Vandy. None of that stuff matters.
It's a new athletic director, important. Though. It's supposed to change everything.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you don't think that they should at least do something? You don't think that at least maybe they should have waited a little bit? I mean, I thought that I really don't think with the new athletic director that things are going to change. But I'm at least willing to believe that they were going to try to act like things were going to change and to extend a football coach who is a really great guy but doesn't win a lot of football games without having seen him practice once. That's a little, like, you know, do you think it came from Zeppos or somebody that said, hey, just go ahead, we like him, extend him. Like, I don't know.
I have no idea.
But if that's the case, what does that mean if the athletic director is not sitting there, the one that's kind of calling the shots or is being told what to do? Then, I mean, what's the point of having him there? Also, Amy Adams Strunk, Titans owner, was named Tennessean of the Year.
I saw that.
By the Tennessee Sports Hall of Fame.
Congratulations, Amy. That's great.
I mean, I don't know why. I'm not trying to be rude here, and I like Amy Adams Strunk, but is there a reason in particular that they gave her the award? Like, is there something special that she did that I just forgot about or missed?
I don't know. Do you have to do something special to get the award?
I would guess you'd have to, right?
I have no idea.
I mean, in order to be the person of the year, don't you have to have at least kind of, like, if your team won the Super Bowl? Now, I know Robert Kraft is probably not going to get person of the year right now.
No,
but
I
if your team
you
wins the Super Bowl, then hey, your team did something or something like that. But I mean, but you know what? Hats off to her. Congratulations, Amy Adams Strunk, the Titans owner, on all of that. 615-737-1025, Fireball Hot Take Friday. There is one thing that is, I have sworn I won't get upset about it, and I'm starting to get upset about it, and it has to do with the Predators, and we'll get to that coming up next. It's Jared and the GM. By the way, I took no credit for guaranteeing victory yesterday when I would have gotten killed if they had lost. I just want to throw that out there.
Oh, we're just getting started. You got plenty of time.
Coming up, that's coming up next. Jared and the GM, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game.